Scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. One of the most powerful stories for me in Scripture. It's always grabbed me in a way many stories haven't. They, that's Jesus and the disciples, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. And demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw a man, the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. The people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you." So the people went away, the man went away, and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. So I said this story is one of the most gripping stories for me. Maybe it's because when I first really came upon it, it was an earlier time in my life when I was still trying to sort everything out. And I found that I was in some ways identifying with this man. Not that I had been diagnosed as being insane, although there were those who had questions about it. But there were so many conflicting things going on inside of me. Things that would trip me up and tie me down. Things that would bind me. The image of chains just seemed to speak to me in a way that other things hadn't. And I thought about Jesus coming to that shore, and as he was there, this says the man came to meet him. That kind of doesn't do it justice, I would think not. And the man must have come just rushing out to him. I mean, he already was a man who was hearing thousands of voices in his head and was insane by the people around him, by their estimation, and he came rushing up to him knowing who Jesus was. It's interesting, the people who met Jesus didn't know who he was for sure, but those spirits, those demons, as far as that language is concerned, recognized him right away. "What do you want to do to me? Why are you here, Jesus, Son of the living God? Don't torture me." Jesus cut right to it and began to call these spirits out of this man. "What is your name?" And the demon said, "We are legion because we are so many." "Don't send us away." And they begged and they negotiated. And finally they said, "There are pigs over there. Send us into them." And Jesus gave them permission, and they went into the pigs, and the pigs began bobbing in the water. People went into the town and the countryside and told the story, and people came out amazed, and they saw the pigs bobbing up and down. Somebody wouldn't be happy. That was somebody's income. And they saw the man sitting, the man who had always been this one who just cried out and was strong and frightening and broke chains and couldn't be held down. They saw him now wearing clothes, calmly sitting at Jesus' feet. And their response, "Yea, Jesus." Their response was, "I don't know what to do with this. There are three things you can count on my town. It always has ice cream socials on Sunday, and it has the town drunk around the city square, and it has the demoniac among the tombs." I don't know what they had in their town, but he was one of the fixtures. And now he was different. And because he was different in a way they could never make happen, they were afraid. Jesus has been here for a half an hour, and look what's happened. Go away. And I guess what gripped me about all that, number one, I identified in some ways with this man who had been bound by chains. But I also, there were times I wanted Jesus to go away. There were changes he was making in my life that I wasn't sure I knew how to cope with. One more thought about the man and the chains. By the time Jesus got there, he wasn't bound anymore by chains because chains wouldn't hold him. But he was. The chains you could see wouldn't hold him, but there were chains within. They kept him just as much prisoner as those chains that were forged and visible. As I think about that and my connection in that, and I wonder what some of the things are that keep us from being free. We live in the land of the free, so nobody binds us, nobody chains us. But there are many folks who live bound in some way in this country, in this community, in this congregation. What are some of the things that bind us, not you in this room, because you are all healthy and whole and happy, and you won't talk to me if I say you, but somebody else. What are some of the things that bind people today? Money is a chain around our bodies that bind us. Drugs, alcohol, anything, addictive lifestyles, yes. Crime and fear that comes with it. Pride, thank you, yes. Physical disabilities, yes. Technology, okay, well, yeah. Anything out of balance, yeah, that's true. Abusiveness binds us. And the things that come. Say one more. The need to be busy can bind us, yes. There's so many things, and one chain doesn't fit somebody else, because they're all forged for us personally. Now, this is going to seem really odd and awkward. I am not going any further than this. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not here advertising dog food. But we have so many chains that bind us. You've named some, and there are many, many, many more. Some of our chains are cute and colorful and pretty, especially when they're new. We have chains here that are short and little and sweet. They come from a swing set. And we don't even notice them as we begin. There are things that we put into our lives that we do almost by accident. The chains begin to get in the way as we go further. You know, we have chains. I'm going to lose that one, so I better put it around my neck. We have chains of fear that keep us from being free. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of other people, especially those we don't know. We're afraid of what our commitments are going to require of us. We're afraid of so many things, bound by fear, and with it its twin chain of doubt. We begin to doubt other people, so we're isolated. We begin to doubt even God, and we don't turn to God for our needs, and so we face the world without anybody's help but our own, and then we begin to doubt ourselves. The chains get a little heavier. We put on chains of self-centeredness. That weighs more than the other four chains together. Chains of self-centeredness, where we see the world from our point of view. Everything is identified by how it affects us. We see other people from our perspective, whether they are good because we want to get something from them. We see God from our point of view. Reality becomes that which I can paint and project. And in my self-centeredness, I begin to be bound and miss so much of what it is that God wants me to see. And with self-centeredness, I wear a chain of materialism, trying to solve a spiritual issue with a thing, and no matter what it is we use in that thing, we still end up being hungry for that material, for that spiritual thing in our lives. But because we are materialistic, then we end up having chains of debt, living above our means, spending all of our resources. We've become slaves to the lender. And so we have these chains that weigh us down. We have chains for our past. Have you ever done anything of which you're ashamed? That you still cringe about when you think about it yet today? Things you don't want anybody to know about. Things that make you feel like you're not worthy are qualified to do something now, to be somebody now, to get off the bench and into the game, if you will. A change of our past where we find ourselves feeling the anxieties of the things that have happened to us that were not acceptable. Change forged by unresolved sin. Some of those unresolved, unconfessed sins in our lives, like lust. And that's not just sexual, by the way. Lust is wanting and taking what is not ours to take instead of waiting for God to put it in our hands. Lusting for something, taking it by our own will and our own power. We have chains of bitterness. Now, this has even got hooks on it. And it never ends. And that's appropriate. Be stylish here. Chains of bitterness. Chains that hold us back. Chains that come from feeling like someone or something or life itself in the past has harmed us and we can't let go of it. They have wronged us and we deserve to be angry. We deserve to resent. We refuse to let go and be free. Free of the pain that ties us to those who've hurt us. We have chains of guilt for the things that I have done in my life. I have guilt for the things I have not done in my life that I should have done and know that I should have done. I have guilt, and those chains bind me and weigh me down. This one I need your help with. Once you've knotted by now, just keep pulling. Okay, thank you. Don't go too far away. We have chains of disobedience to God. Have you ever been disobedient to God? Have you ever sensed God calling you to do something, to go somewhere, to make a difference somehow, and you wrestle, but you finally say no? You know, the truth is, and I want you to sort of really catch this and think it through. The truth is, we cannot say the word no and say the word Lord in the same breath. Because if I say no to my Lord, he is no longer the Lord of my life. Do you get that? When I refuse to submit, he no longer has that authority in my life because I remove myself from it. We've lived our lives, many of us, with an understanding about our faith that isn't that at all. We think we are those who enjoy the perks of membership in a voluntary organization. And we do. But when God calls, when Christ whispers deep inside that place where you can't scratch it and get it out, so I want you to do this. And you say, Lord, I just can't. Well, you're free to do that. But in doing that, no longer is Christ your Lord and for me, my Lord. We have chains of disobedience. And we're stuck living in our own power or the lack of it. And finally, I need you here for sure. I asked for chains this week and Linda brought me one. 18 feet long, Linda. Okay, have your way with me. I can't manage it. This chain is for all the other chains in our lives. Chains we haven't named today. Chains that you don't want anybody else to know about. Chains that maybe have been yours for so long. You don't realize they're there, except how heavy it is. And it's getting heavier. By the time I'm done this morning and get home, I'll be stooped. My knees will hurt, as will my ankles. Although I'm used to carrying a lot of weight, you know, every day. but we've added quite a bit on top. How would you like carrying this kind of stuff around 24/7? And yet, we do. Many of us, at least some of these kinds of chains. Things that we've worked hard to hide, tried to incorporate into our outfits so our chains look natural. Things we've allowed to limit us, and no longer do we try to go those places where we can't with our chains. So what do we do? Well, we know that we can't break these chains. We really aren't that madman among the tombs who broke the chains. We can't break these chains. Well, the things we can do in relationship with God that helps those chains fall off as we seek to draw closer, as we seek to be obedient, as we seek to confess our brokenness, but we don't have the power. We can't free ourselves. Only God can break the chains. And God desires to break the chains. If we will believe in Jesus Christ as the gift God has given us, who came to die and sacrifice himself for every chain we have ever worn or will ever fashion in our lives, then we can hold them up and let God remove them from us. But in a funny way, it seems to me, not funny ha-ha, but funny strange, there's something inside us sometimes that almost hesitates to be free. Because we're not sure what it's going to look like or feel like after carrying it all this time. The people of the day when Jesus was there sent him away because they were afraid of what it meant to be free. It changed their worldview because this guy had always been this guy, had always been this guy, just this way, and now he was not. And if Jesus could do that to him and also ruin some farmer's pigs, what could he do to me? So there's something for some of us strangely hesitant. After all, I'm learning how to cope with the weight. I'm learning how to move slowly and make sure things don't swing around and smack me in the face. Learning how to hide them so people don't see. Do I really want to go do something as radical as let God break the chains from my life? Well, it took us a while to get these loaded on. Can you help me get them off? I need to use them again, so don't tie them all up in knots, okay? I can't do it. I can't break my chains. They're overlapped and underwrapped and little by little, see what a mess this is? Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. Amen. It does feel better. There are chains up here in a box that you watched me put on. But there are chains up here that you can't see, that I've struggled with throughout my life. Some I have put down or let God take from me. Some I still argue about. Some I let go and then come back and pick them back up again. That's the trouble with people. We can't just do it once and be done with it. And maybe you have chains too. There's no end to the things that can become a chain. So I want to invite you. We're going to sing in just a moment, but I want to invite you, if you have chains that have been binding you and weighing you down and keeping you from being free, that as we sing, I'd invite you to just come and stand here in the front. You don't have to kneel anywhere. You don't have to confess your chains to us or to me, the preacher. Just come and stand here at the front and sing with us or pray and tell God, these are my chains. Would you break them off my life? Bless you. And drop. Let God break them and drop your chains along with mine. So we can walk away from this morning together, set free to live and serve and tell his story. Now,